This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Once there was a freshman in high school who found a wallet on the floor in the hallway next to the drinking fountain at his high school. He picked it up and opened it. It belonged to one of the teachers. He noticed that from the driver's license. And he also noticed that there were five $20 bills in the wallet. The young man hesitated for what felt like an eternity. He then quickly removed the money from the wallet, put it in his pocket, and then placed the wallet back on the floor where he had found it. Crushing temptation. One night, a middle-aged man with a wife and four young children was working on his computer downstairs while his family was asleep upstairs. When he finished his work for the office, he then went online to check his emails. But after he read his emails, he then hung his head in shame as he logged on to a porn site that he had been viewing the last four nights. Crushing temptation. There was a 10-year-old boy who told his mother that he wanted to play baseball with his friends at the park near their home. His mother said, "You can go, but only if you promise not to let your friends talk you into going into that condemned building you know about. Remember, a boy got hurt there the other week." The boy said, "I promise, Mom, I promise you I will not go into that building." Later on at the park, after they were done playing, the boy said, "Hey, let's go check out the inside of that condemned building." The 10-year-old boy remembered his promise to his mother, but he didn't want his friends to think he was afraid. So he broke his promise to his mother. He disobeyed her, and he went inside the building. Crushing temptation. A 35-year-old woman was hosting a woman's Bible study in her home. Seven other women from church were there. But before the Bible study began, they were having some casual conversation. Eventually, the topic focused on a woman at church that none of them liked. In fact, not one of them had anything good to say about this woman, even though not one of them had ever bothered to even talk to her. Well, the host of the Bible study was overhearing all of this, and she thought she should say something in defense of this poor woman, but instead, she just kept quiet and listened to the gossip. The host didn't want to confront her friends. Crushing temptation. Now, I could go on for hours and hours giving you examples of situations where we are crushed by temptation. In fact, what I'd like to do right now is just take a few moments of silence for each one of us to think for a second about a few areas in our lives where we have been crushed by temptation. You know, we are Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means we want to please the Lord, we want to resist sin, we want to submit to God's will. But we are also sinners, with that sinful nature passed down from Adam. Evil desires nag at us every moment, and temptations from without overwhelm us. And sometimes we make choices that cause us shame and hurt others in the process. No matter how hard we try, each one of us is eventually crushed by temptation. Maybe it's a sinful thought we ponder in our minds. Maybe our eyes look at things that cause us to lust or to be envious of others. Maybe words come out of our mouths. Words that misuse God's name, words that hurt others, words that twist the truth. When we give in to temptation, we not only hurt ourselves, but we usually cause others pain as well. But most of all, when we fall to temptation, we actually hurt God. You see, all our sin is ultimately against God Himself. For instance, if you remember the Old Testament, King David was one time guilty of adultery and murder. After he was brought to repentance through the witness of the prophet Nathan, David was then moved by the Spirit to write these words in Psalm 51. Listen to what he wrote. "Against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." We are all conceived as sinners. We are born as people doomed to be crushed by temptations of various kinds. As we learned from our first reading, it all happened when Adam and Eve believed the devil's lie. They doubted God's word. They wanted to do things their way. So they turned their backs on God's love and they doomed themselves and their descendants to a fate far worse than physical death. You see, as children of Adam and Eve, we are by nature spiritually dead. And that means we're doomed to spend eternity separated from God's love. At least that would have been our fate if it were not for the promise God made to Adam and Eve and also to you and me. Listen again to that last verse of our Old Testament reading. Listen to what God says to the instrument of Satan. He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." As I said, this is the first promise God spoke about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says that a male child born of a woman would crush the power of the devil. And that promise was fulfilled hundreds of years later when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And then, several years after that, he was revealed as God's eternal Son when he was baptized. You see, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him for all to see. And then the Father spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my Son." And after Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. Now, why did he do that? You see, Jesus went into the wilderness because his Father wanted him to endure some crushing temptation. But guess what? Instead of being crushed by temptation, Jesus crushed the tempter. The devil tried to get Jesus to join us in our rebellion against God, but Jesus remained faithful to his Father. In fact, Jesus remained faithful to his Father's plan all the way to the cross. And that is when the devil's doom was sealed. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the promise of Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled. Jesus crushed the tempter. But exactly how did Jesus crush him? Well, first of all, Jesus crushes the devil by taking away his power to accuse us before God. You see, the devil's a real trickster. Initially, he pretends to be your best friend. He tempts you to sin, convincing you that if you just turn from God and do it your own way, things will work out just fine. The devil wants you to think he's got your best interests in mind when he leads you to rebel against God. But once you have been crushed by temptation, then the devil will throw your sin back in your face. He will come at you with all his rage and fury. He will remind you how wicked you are and that God has every reason to hate you. And guess what? The devil is right. We are wicked. And God does have every reason to hate us. The devil should be able to mock us forever in hell. But he won't. Why? Because the tempter has been crushed. God himself has taken the guilt of your sin and he suffered hell in your place. God's own son suffered the damnation that you and I deserve. That's why Jesus is your only refuge against the devil. And those who think they can get by in life even for a moment without Jesus have been truly deceived. My friends, if you trust in Jesus, the devil can't condemn you. You can confess all the times you have been crushed by temptation and then have the confidence that you are completely forgiven and holy before God because of Jesus. Oh, the devil can still accuse you all he wants, but you are clean and innocent before God. So, my friends, Jesus crushed Satan by taking away his power to accuse us. Now, the second way that Jesus will crush Satan is that one day Jesus will take away the devil's power to tempt us. When Jesus returns in glory on the final day, he will crush Satan forever, and never again will the devil tempt us to sin against our Lord. But until that day, the Bible says the devil still prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the question is, how can we avoid being crushed by the devil's temptations? First, you need to follow the example of Jesus in our gospel reading. You need to learn to use God's word against the devil. In fact, listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Did you hear that? We can use God's Word against the devil. We can use God's Word against the desires of our own sinful nature. God wants us to fill our heart and mind with Holy Scripture. He wants us to read and study the Bible every day. He wants us to learn how to pray the teaching of the Catechism. My friends, make the Word of God part of your spiritual diet and stop eating the spiritual junk food of the world. Because if you learn to quote God's Word when faced with temptation, you will find that you won't have to fall so deeply and so often. However, please understand something. Our gospel reading for today offers us much more than just an example to follow. And that's good. Because you see, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we grow in God's Word and apply it to our lives, no matter how much we try to resist temptation, the fact is we will always fall short of perfect victory. You see, unlike Jesus, we are sinners. Sometimes temptation will crush us. And even if we do our best and we can avoid certain sinful behaviors, nevertheless, those sinful desires are still lurking within us, and they will always be with us till the day we die. Therefore, we must recognize that Jesus does much more than simply give us an example. You see, the reason Jesus went into the wilderness, first and foremost, was that he went to the wilderness to crush the tempter for us. Jesus went into the wilderness to reverse the curse of Eden. Jesus was victorious over temptation for you. The Bible teaches that in baptism God has clothed us with the holiness of Jesus. Remember our reading from Genesis when Adam and Eve fell into sin? They tried to hide from God by covering themselves with leaves and hiding. They didn't want God to see their sin. But we cannot cover our sin ourselves. However, if you read later on in Genesis 3, we're told that God clothed Adam and Eve himself, but he clothed them with animal skin. An animal had to die, blood had to be shed, the first picture of Jesus. The Bible says that in baptism we are clothed with Christ. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner who is crushed by temptation, no. When God looks at you, he sees the victory of Jesus. My friends, we sinners face crushing temptations every day. That is why we need to be in church on a regular basis. That is why we need to be into the Word of God. But most of all, we need to trust in the one who has crushed temptation for us. Jesus has crushed the devil. Satan no longer has the power to accuse you before God. And one day, Jesus will return in glory, and he will crush Satan forever under your feet. The devil will never be able to tempt you again after that day. But until then, even though the devil will continue to tempt you, remember that Jesus has crushed temptation and the tempter for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a few moments we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.